The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is Mouse Loves Love by Lauren Thompson. And we're reading this book today because February is the month that Valentine's Day comes. And Valentine's Day is on February 4th. So here we go with Mouse Loves Love. One day, Big Sister Minka sneaks away. Minka creeps high and low all the way around. Mouse sneaks away too. Where is Minka going? She looks, and Minka creeps high and creeps low and keeps looking. She finds something smooth and rosy. What is it? Red paper, says Minka. Just what I need. Next, Minka races over and under and all around again. She finds something white and holy. What is it? Lace, says Minka. Just what I need. Then Minka leaps here and there and all around. She finds something shiny and curly. What is it? Ribbon, says Minka. Just what I need. Little Mouse is creeping behind his big sister, trying to figure out what she is taking. Next, Minka peeks inside and outside and all around. She finds something sticky and goopy. What is it? Paste, says Minka. Just what I need. Now, Minka folds the paper in a very special way. What is Minka making? Then Minka brushes the paste on the shiny red thing that she just folded. What could it be? Next, Minka smooths the lace over the paste. What is it? Then Minka ties the ribbon like that. What can Minka be making? There is a pretty bow now that Minka has made with that pretty ribbon. At last, Minka says, it's ready. And then she says, come here, little mouse, says Minka. This Valentine is just for you. Just because I love you. And that's the end of Mouse Loves Loves Love. Valentine's Day is a day when we celebrate our love for our mom and our dad and our brothers and our sisters and our friends at school and all our friends and our teachers. And we make Valentines for them too and hand them to our special people on Valentine's Day. Now, the next book is called The Fish with the Deep Sea Smile. They fished and they fished, way down in the sea, way down in the sea for a mile. They fished among all the fish in the sea for the fish with the deep sea smile. One fish came up from the deep of the sea, from down in the sea a mile. It had blue-green eyes and whiskers three, but never a deep sea smile. One fish came up from the deep of the sea, from down in the sea a mile, with electric lights up and down its tail, but never a deep sea smile. That fish had a big pointy nose too, but not a deep sea smile. They fished and they fished all across the sea. And down in the depths a mile, they fished among all the fish in the sea for the fish with a deep sea smile. One fish came up with terrible teeth. One fish with a long, strong jaw. It looks like a shark. One fish came up with its eyes on stalks. One fish with terrible claws. They fished all through the ocean deep for many and many a mile. They caught a fish with a laughing eye, but none with a deep sea smile. And then, one day, they got a pull from down in the sea a mile, and when they pulled the fish into the boat, he smiled a deep sea smile. And as he smiled, the hook got free. And then, what a deep sea smile! The fish flipped his tail and swam away. Down in the sea a mile. And that was all they ever saw of the fish with the deep sea smile. That book was written by Margaret Wise Brown, and if you've ever read the very, very famous book called Goodnight Moon, she was the author of that book too. Now, another day in February that's lots of fun is called Groundhog Day. That day is February the 2nd. And in that day, there's a special groundhog, and I believe he is up in Pennsylvania. And when he comes out of his hole in the morning, if he can see his shadow, in other words, if it's bright and sunny day and he is able to see his shadow on the ground, that means there's going to be 6 long, cold weeks more of winter. Now, if the day is gray and there's no sun, or even if it's raining and the groundhog comes up in his hole, he doesn't see his shadow. And that means that the winter, rest of the winter, will be mild and not very cold and windy and snowy. It will just be nice, cool days. The name of the groundhog in Pennsylvania is called Punxsutawney Phil. Anyways, this book is about Groundhog Day, February 2nd. Substitute Groundhog by Pat Miller. The day before Groundhog Day, Groundhog woke up sick. His muscles ached and his throat hurt. Groundhog felt so awful that he went to see Dr. Owl. "You have a bad case of flu, you do," said Dr. Owl. "You need hot clover soup and bed rest for 2 days. "How many?" asked Groundhog. Two, hooted Dr. Owl. But Groundhog Day was tomorrow. Groundhog couldn't let everyone down because he was too sick to do his job. He tried to think of something. On his way home to bed, Groundhog passed the Hidey Hole Diner. He saw want ads from all of the neighborhood animals tacked to a nearby tree. Skunk was looking for a roommate again. Mr. and Mrs. Duck were returning north and had their nest for rent. "I know what I'll do," Groundhog thought. "I'll advertise for a substitute groundhog." And so he pinned this note to the big tree. "Weather teller wanted. No experience needed. Apply at Groundhog's Hole, February 1st, 10 a.m. Thank you, Groundhog." By 10 o'clock, a line of animals waited to try out. "Great," said Groundhog with a sneeze. "Surely one of you can do Groundhog Day for me." Mole was first. "You have to go down in my hole," Groundhog told Mole. "It's pretty dark down there." "No problem," said Mole. "My own hole is even darker." Mole got comfortable underground. "Now come up and look for your shadow," Groundhog shouted. Mole peeked over the edge. His little eyes squinted. "Well, Mole, what do you see?" Mole spoke to a tree. "Is that you, Groundhog?" Groundhog blew his nose. This won't work. I need someone who sees well. I can see well, said a voice from high overhead. Groundhog looked up and saw Eagle. Eagle swooped down. From that mountain lodge, Groundhog, I could see a bit of owl feather stuck in your fur. I'd say you have been to see Dr. Owl recently. Wow, then surely you will have no trouble seeing your shadow, said Groundhog. Climb down in the hole and let's practice. Climb down, said Eagle. He looked at the entrance to the hole. Will there be room down there to stretch my wings? He stretched them wide, very, very wide. Groundhog rubbed his scratchy, sore throat. That won't work. I need someone who sees well and is not bothered by small spaces. Bear stepped up next. My own cave is snug and cozy. Great, said Groundhog. Climb down and let's practice. This is perfect, yelled Bear from the hole. It's even more comfy than my own cage. Come out and take a look, said Groundhog, called Groundhog. There was no answer. Groundhog poked his head below ground. Bear, come look for your shadow. The only answer was a deep, slow snore. Bear had fallen back to sleep again. And to make it worse, he was sound asleep on Groundhog's bed. Groundhog was frustrated. He needed a substitute who could see well, who wasn't bothered by small spaces, and who wouldn't fall asleep. I can do it. I can do it. Let me try. Let me try. Squirrel bounced to the front of the line. Okay, said Groundhog. Go down in the hole, come back up, and look for your shadow. Squirrel leaped in. Whee! And then she popped her head back up. Groundhog said, see your shadow? Oh, I forgot to look. And down she went. She popped back up. She dropped back down. I keep forgetting to look, Squirrel giggled. She popped up and down some more. This is fun, she said. But what Groundhog needed was someone who would pop up and stay up. By now, Groundhog was feeling even worse. He thought of his warm bed. Was he ever going to find a substitute? Howdy there, Groundhog. How about giving me a chance? Up stepped a strange-looking creature. My name is Armadillo, she said. You're not from around here, are you? Asked Groundhog. Nope, I'm from Texas, visiting my cousin Badger, she said. But I can do this job. I live in a hole. I like small spaces. I see my shadow just fine. And I will pop up and I will stay up. Groundhog wasn't so sure. Armadillo was a stranger from far away. What did she know about the weather here? But she did have all the qualifications for the job. All right, said Groundhog. Let's see how you do. Armadillo climbed down into Groundhog's hole. She poked her head up and looked around. Sure enough, she saw her shadow. If that happens, tell folks tomorrow that winter will drag on, said Groundhog. But if you don't see your shadow tomorrow, spring will come early. Got it, said Armadillo. I think you're just the substitute I've been looking for, said Groundhog. You're hired. Thanks, said Armadillo, and they shook paws. Then Groundhog climbed down his hole into bed. He sipped warm clover soup. He plumped his pillows and tucked his sore self under the flannel quilt. The next morning, the animals gathered early to hear what Armadillo would say. It was cold and crisp as the sun peeked over the forest. Badger served hot chocolate. Squirrel bounced and cheered for Armadillo. Eagle flew high above the trees. Muddy Mole looked sleepy, and Bear was still in bed. The animals grew quiet as Armadillo poked her head up and carefully looked around. There on the ground, she saw the shadow of her tiny ears and her pointy nose. Six more weeks of winter, she announced. Armadillo dropped back into Groundhog's hole. Did you hear that, Groundhog? 6 more weeks of winter. Groundhog groaned from his bed. How you feeling, Groundhog? Armadillo asked. A little better, but I'd feel a lot better if it was spring already. Spring already? Asked Armadillo. Say, that gives me an idea. Armadillo found Groundhog's suitcase. Get your gear together, Groundhog, she said. It's already spring in Texas. You can come home with me. Really? Said Groundhog. He imagined himself rolling in the warm grass instead of sneezing through 6 more weeks of cold. You bet, said Armadillo. Groundhog jumped from his bed. He grabbed his teddy bear and his toothbrush and tossed them into his suitcase. I've always wanted to see Texas. Do you think they have cowboy hats in my size? Asked Groundhog. Sure as Texas has a Lone Star, said Armadillo. Together they walked through the cold to the bus station, and their shadows followed them all the way there. This next book is called Plenty of Love to Go Around by Emma Chichester Clark. And this is about a little dog named Plum, a little black fuzzy dog, and about the people that love him. I am Plum, the one and only special Plum. Here he is, wagging his tail, looking very proud. Emma and Rupert are my family, and I just love them. And when they say I am their special one, I feel loved all over. Sam and Gracie are a brother and sister, and they live next door. They are my best friends, and I am their best one and only. But one day, Gracie said, we've got a surprise for you, Plum. This is Binky, said Sam. And he was holding a cat. Now, cats are not my favorite thing. He loves you, Plum. Don't you love him? Asked Gracie. We love him, said Sam. And here is Binky, the white kitty cat, trying to play with Sam. And Sam is just trying to play with Plum. And Plum is just sitting there and looking at him and sort of pulling back from him and just wishing that cat would disappear. So I was so happy to go to the park. The park is just for dogs, and the whole park looks like it's full of dogs playing and having fun, running after each other, chasing squirrels, playing with balls, going for walks with their special people, and playing with each other. I say, said my friend Esther, is that a cat with you? I couldn't believe it. Who's your new friend? Asked Rocket. He's not my friend, I said. Well, he's following you, said Bean. Scat, cat, I said. And there Plum is trying to hide behind a tree, but Binky the cat knows where he is. When I got home, guess who was there? It's nice to have a cat around, said Emma. No, it isn't. It isn't. The cat followed me everywhere. Sniffed where I sniffed. Rolled where I rolled. Peed where I peed. Stretched when I stretched. I couldn't get away. I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. I went to the shed to hide. But the cat followed me there, too. When the door slammed shut, we were stuck, Binky and I. Meow, he said, and off he went. And there's Binky sneaking out under a crack under the door. Too little for Plum to pull through, though. Cats, I said. And now poor Plum was stuck in the shed. Now no one will ever find me. He's looking very worried and sad. But I was wrong about that, because Binky came back with Sam and Gracie. Binky had found them and brought them to let him out of the shed. "Silly Plum," said Gracie. "Binky saved you," said Sam. They told Emma and Rupert. "Clever Binky," said Rupert. "He's so clever," said Sam. "He's just a cat. Nothing special about that," I thought. "Oh, look at Binky," said Gracie as he ran up a tree. "He can do anything," said Sam. "It's true. It's really true," I thought. I thought he was a show-off, clever clogs cat. Now, Binky was a special one. Plum is feeling jealous. "He's ruining everything," I told my friend Esther the dog. "Have you tried being friends?" asked Jakey. "I can't be friends with a cat," I told Bean. "What if they love him more than me?" I asked Rocket. "Oh, there's plenty of love to go around," he said. But I wasn't sure about that. Sam and Gracie were watching TV. The cat was outside. He came back when he saw me. So I pushed the door shut and leaned against the cat flap. Poor Binky couldn't get into the house. "Stop following me," I told him. "Stay out until I say so." I guarded the door. And then it started to rain. It was raining really hard. I couldn't leave him out in the rain, could I? But was there really enough love to go around? Was there? Just then, Emma and Rupert came. "Oh, poor Binky." They found little Binky out in the rain. And then they saw me in front of the cat flap. I looked at Emma, and she looked at me. She knew what I had done. "Now, Plummy," Emma said, "you will always be my special one. But you are going to have to be nice to that cat. There's room in our hearts for him and for you." "You've got a big heart, haven't you, Plummy?" said Emma. And suddenly I could feel it growing. It grew bigger and bigger. "I have a big heart. I do. I do. And now I know there's room enough love for two. In fact, there's plenty of love to go around and around. There's plenty of love to go around." And the last picture shows Plum and Binky snuggled up on his doggy bed, side by side, sound asleep. Our next book is Llama Llama Red Pajama by Anna Dudney. Llama Llama Red Pajama reads a story with his mama. Mama kisses baby's hair. Mama Llama goes downstairs. Llama Llama Red Pajama calls down to his llama mama. Mama says she'll be up soon. Baby Llama hums a tune. Llama Llama Red Pajama feels alone without his mama. Baby Llama wants a drink, but Mama's at the kitchen sink. There's poor Llama, Baby Llama getting ready to cry. Llama Llama Red Pajama waiting, waiting for his mama. Mama isn't coming yet. So Baby Llama starts to fret. Llama Llama Red Pajama whimpers softly for his mama. But Mama Llama hears the phone. Baby Llama starts to moan. Llama Llama Red Pajama listens quiet for his mama. What is Mama Llama doing? Baby Llama starts boo-hooing. Llama Llama Red Pajama hollers loudly for his mama. Baby Llama stomps and pouts. Baby Llama jumps and shouts. He is out of bed now, making a big racket. Llama, llama, red pajama, in the dark without his mama. Eyes wide open, covers drawn. What if mama llama's gone? Llama, llama, red pajama, weeping, wailing for his mama. Will his mama ever come? Mama, llama, run, run, run. And there's mama llama is dropping the phone and rushing up the stairs to see what's going on upstairs. Mama, baby llama, what a tizzy. Sometimes mama's very busy. Please stop all this llama drama and be patient with your mama. Little llama, don't you know? Mama llama loves you so. Mama llama's always near, even if she's not right here. Llama, llama, red pajama, gets two kisses from his mama, snuggles pillow soft and deep, and baby llama goes to sleep. And now we have some poems from something called the Please and Thank You book. This is by Barbara Shook Hazan. First one's called Bears Always Share. Bears share their toys. Bears share their honey. Bears share a joke they think is funny. Whatever they do, whatever they wear, they always share with another bear. The next one is called Watch Out for Wanda Warthog. When Wanda Warthog comes over, beware. She leaves a trail everywhere. There's ink on the sofa and gum on the cat. Play-Doh ground into the mat. Her dirty fingerprints streak the wall. She's broken her best friend's favorite doll. Whoops, there goes her dish of raspberry ice. And that's why poor Wanda is never asked twice. And that's a special poem talking about how important it is to be careful when you're invited to a friend's house and to be careful with the toys and with what you do with things like Play-Doh and glue and pens and ink and a snack you've been given, so that you'll be asked again. This one is called Welcome Ricky Raccoon. When Ricky Raccoon comes over to play, he helps put all the toys away. He asks his friend what he'd like to do and is also careful with scissors and glue. He washes before he comes to the table and helps his host whenever he's able. And that's why almost every day someone invites Ricky over to play. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.